Wasn't it Jesus who said, whatever you do to the least of these, or do not do to the least of these, you do not do to me? Matthew 25:45. Today, I really want us to take a different approach to this series called Wisdom and kind of look at how to honor God by honoring the least of these, by showing justice to the needy, by offering the hand of mercy that we just sang about to those who need it most. If you'll turn with me to the book of Proverbs, we're going to look specifically at chapter 14 this morning, which I hope you're reading with us every morning. If you don't know, we're posting videos of different church members reading a different proverb a day, 31 days in the month of October, 31 Proverbs. So we hope you'll read a proverb a day with us. But this coming Saturday, we're going to be reading Proverbs chapter 14. While you're turning to Proverbs 14, I got to tell you, Pastor Chris mentioned the trip that John Penny Houston Lee and I are going on tomorrow. We leave out for Uganda, Africa. And I have to be honest and say, I'm a little freaked out. I think I'm probably mostly freaked out about leaving my wife and my children for that long and that far. I've never been that far on a plane ride, several plane rides for that long. So we appreciate your prayers, but I'll tell you the story. I was approached by Houston Lee back in the spring, and he said, man, I'd really love for us to do a men's conference. And I would love for you to join me, maybe just you and me. Don't know how it's going to shape up. Would you pray about that? And I thought for a minute, okay, like you do sometimes. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Not for me. Yes, Lord. Amen. Yeah, I prayed about it. That's right. But then I decided after talking to my wife, I really actually need to pray about it since I told the man I would pray about it. And so I started praying about it. And I'll tell you what, from our pastor from this pulpit, from the devotions and the scriptures that I was reading at that time, I was convinced the Lord wanted me to go on this trip, regardless of how scared I was for the implications of it. So then we started planning this trip, and we looked at October and doing a men's conference, and then we got word from our missionary partners over there in Uganda that October is really the harvest season, and all the men are going to be out in the fields doing the work. So we kind of missed the opportunity, but then Josh Moody, our missionary over there, says, now that we know that Justin's coming, we have been praying for 2 years for a youth conference to happen. And it was almost like this, as soon as I got word from that, it was almost like this confirmation, this is exactly what I had planned for you and your team. And so can I just say, if you ever feel God calling you and he's confirmed it in his word and by godly teaching and preaching and through prayer, regardless of your hesitations or your fears, would you just trust that he's going to take care of you while you go? Because that's really where I find myself. And so this morning, I want to kind of look at the least of these, not in Africa, but maybe those that you touch and you see physically with your eyes almost every day. Specifically in Proverbs chapter 14, looking at verse 31, if you would stand with me in the honor of reading of God's word, I'm just going to read one passage for you. You can read the entire chapter on Saturday, if not before. But this is what Proverbs chapter 14, specifically in verse 31, says about honor. Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, capital M. But he who is generous to the needy honors him, capital H. Once again, whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, God. But he who is generous to the needy honors God. Lord, would you speak to us? Hide me behind your cross. Let the words that come out of my mouth now be straight from your spirit to our hearts. Open our hearts, our minds, and in turn, open our hands as we seek to honor you with wisdom. For it's in Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. By the way, if you want to take some notes, you can look in your worship guide. I'd love for you to write some things down, see some things on the screen, hear some things. Maybe one of those opportunities will help you to understand it. But when we talk about wisdom and we talk about honoring God and living a life of wisdom, I believe there's three things you and I need to take home with us. The first one, we do this by seeing the need. And I guess I have to ask myself this question just as much as I ask you this morning. Do we really care about the needy? Now, we'll define the word needy in just a moment, but in this context, let's just go ahead and use the word, do we really care about the poor? Can I get a response? Do you really care about the poor and the needy around you? Okay, I'm guessing the consensus is yes. Okay, well, I feel you. You know, we say yes, and I'm talking to myself just as much as I am everybody else listening. We say yes, but it's almost like caring for the needy is an afterthought. It's not very intentional in the lives that we live. Maybe on your handout there, you want to take a moment and write down the last time that you actually stopped to help or even talk to somebody in need. Maybe it's the poor guy that you see in the street corner. Maybe it's somebody who looks like they're going without at the restaurant. Maybe it's a coworker or a classmate, somebody that you see in need. When was the last time you actually paused the busyness of your world to speak to or to pray for or to help out somebody in need? If you're having trouble writing that down like I might be some days, then I beg you to think about the answer to the question I just asked a moment ago. Yes, we care, but do we care in tangible ways, or do we care as an afterthought? If you don't know this, this book that we preach from every week, this book that we believe is the foundation of the lives that we live as we draw closer to Jesus and ultimately closer to heaven, the Bible is all about caring for the needy. I don't know if you've ever realized this, but it's an emphatic theme all throughout the Bible, caring for the poor. It's included in his law from the beginning of the book. It's expressed in his wisdom. It's measured by the prophets. It's a characteristic, literally, of Jesus, God incarnate, Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. A characteristic of Jesus and, by the way, of substantial ministry throughout the New Testament church. All the Bible talks about is God's concern. So yes, the church does things for the poor, but usually those things are peripheral ministries. You know what I mean? They're like the sideline ministries. Pass it on or somebody else will take care of this. And then I can't help but think that if I'm honest with you this morning, there are tons of people who come into our church office every week looking for help. Physical needs, whether it be food or taking care of a power bill or somebody to just listen to their story and maybe give something as a help to them. And I have to ask myself, how often do I want to push that off on somebody else, or I see the need and I kind of go out the other door, or I'm really busy, I need to get here, and I justify in my mind that person probably needs to know Jesus more than get their power bill paid, but I really have this important lunch appointment that I have to get to. And what about you? Maybe we donate things that are of no value, or we urge others to do something, or we tell others about giving to ministries, but maybe we've joined this idea of helping those, showing concern to those in need as peripheral ministries. So here's what I believe the problem is with our concern. Yes, concern is important, but what's the problem with our concern? I don't know if you've realized this, but the more I study his word, the more I realize that God is a hands-on God. You notice that? God is a hands-on God. He's going to get in there. He's going to get dirty with his people. He's going to show his love in physical, actual ways. And I believe that means that you and I are to be hands-on people. We are to be literally his hands and feet. We are the representation, the things that we do with our hands if we call ourselves believers in Christ. The places we go with our feet, we are the literal hands and feet of God in this world. You might remember James chapter 1, verse 22 says it like this: don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says, otherwise you are only fooling yourself. Can I give you Justin's translation? If I read it and I don't do it, I'm a fool. I don't know if you ever felt that way, but let's just be honest. That's what the Bible says. And sometimes our view of the needy around us reflects our view of God. So maybe you and I need to check ourselves when it comes to saying, yeah, I have a concern for those in need. Secondly, I want us to move to a little more tangible way of understanding what this means, not just seeing the need, but secondly, by knowing the need. I think it's fair to say that God loves everyone. Do we believe that? Do we believe that? God loves everyone. Our pastor, Pastor Chris Johnson, he said about a year ago, I wrote it down because I love how he said it. He said, there will not be one person you lock eyes with today that Jesus doesn't love. Think about that. Everywhere you go and everything you do all week long, you don't have to go to Uganda, Africa to lock eyes with somebody that desperately needs to know that God loves them. You go to work tomorrow. You go to school tomorrow. You go to the restaurant this afternoon. You walk outside of the church building this morning. See, God loves them all, and we need to reflect that love to all people. Our love of God will determine how we treat other people, or what the Bible calls the very least of these. Because if we let his creation suffer, we probably don't think very much of God. At least, I believe that about myself. I think we would all say that God loves everyone, but can we take it a step closer to the heart and say, including you and me? I read a devotional writer said this not too long ago. Why is it so important to God that we be kind to the needy? Because if we aren't, we've forgotten who we are. We were needy. He was kind. Did we learn anything from his example? Do we consider his love valuable only because it was applied to us? Did mercy really sink in? Imagine how you would feel, just for a moment, put yourself in their shoes. Imagine how you would feel if you didn't know that there was a God in heaven who cared about you. If you didn't understand what it meant to be forgiven by your Creator. Because that's where a lot of the people that we touch or we see daily are at. That's where they are. So what do we do about it? Third and finally, I believe wisdom is lived out in honoring God by meeting the need. We can't just see it because you and I see it every day. We can't just know about it because if we believe this book, we know there's a need. We need to do something about it. So I asked the question as I was kind of studying for this, why are there still poor people? If you're like me, have you ever asked the question or wondered, if God is all powerful and God is all loving, why do poor people even exist in the first place? And then I started digging through his scriptures and digging in my heart and remembering what I just said a moment ago about us being the hands and feet of God. And I have to believe, and you can doubt me on this, but I believe that poor people remain because God wants to know how much we value his ways. How much you and I can give a physical demonstration of him and to him today. So what can we do about it? I strive on Wednesday nights as I preach the word to our students to give them very practical things, give them the meat of the word of God, but then cut it up for them sometimes and hand it out to them so they can pass it out and share. So let me give you a few ideas about what I believe we can do. I think simply it starts with something you could do right now. If you pause for just a moment, ask God, pray and ask God to send those who are in need your way and be ready. Don't pray because I told you to pray and then go about your day and not even think twice about it. Maybe Pastor Chris mentioned it in his prayer a few minutes ago. Maybe it means volunteering at places like Room in the Inn for those who are homeless, especially during the cold season, which isn't too far away now. Maybe volunteering at the Second Chance Food Pantry. They're always looking for volunteers. Somebody told me the other day, it seems like the lady who's over that is posting all the time that she's got this huge shipment and only older ladies working to unload this big truck of donated items to give away to the needy in our community. That's a very simple, tangible way. Maybe it's like those who came out this past Thursday night. Join Blessings in a Backpack, a monthly ministry. It's actually a weekly ministry if you want to do more than our assigned week. Show up and pack bags of food and place them in the classroom for kids who need food throughout the weekend and say a prayer over that teacher in that classroom. Or maybe it's something a little more tangible. Go out and buy a few $5 McDonald's gift cards. You know, you're always thinking, this guy has asked for help, or I see this guy on the corner, or I'm out, and I know that this man has a need, but if I give him money, I know he's just going to, what do you say? Go ahead, don't lie. He's just going to go to the liquor store with it, right? He's just going to go buy cigarettes, so I don't think the Lord wants me to give him money. Well, then do something about it. Don't just use that as your justification to ignore a man in need. As a matter of fact, let me do this. I went ahead and did the work for you. I went to McDonald's and I bought a bunch of $5 gift cards. Who would commit with me to go ahead and take one and in the next week give it to somebody you see in need? Would you just raise your hand? Yeah? Okay, I see 10 right there. Darren, it's time to work. You've been up here waving your hand. Now it's time to walk around. Let me keep one. Would you give it to 10 people that you, 9 people? I'm going to keep one. Because I'm going to do it with you. I'm not about to preach and not practice. Just keep your hand up if you can grab one of those. By the way, they're $5. You can buy them at McDonald's yourself. Very tangible way. Thank you, guys. Maybe it's even something as going through the drive-thru and leaving it to paying the bill of the person in the drive-thru behind you. You heard that on the Christian radio station. I love hearing stories about lives that are touched by some simple gift like that. Thank you for joining me in that mission. Maybe it's just pay attention. Maybe it's just show some kindness to speak and to pray for somebody. Do you ever encounter people like I do where they're like, Justin, I really need you to pray for me. If you would pray for this situation that's coming up in my life and my family or whatever it might be, oh, absolutely, I will pray for you. And then you walk away and you think, I got to pray for them. Maybe you pray in that moment as you're walking away. Maybe you see them again a week later and say, oh, I was supposed to pray for them. Lord, would you just be with their situation? I've been praying for you, brother. Why not just stop and pray for them right there? Let's do that. I know it's uncomfortable, but let's do that right now. Let's just pray. If we really believe in the power of prayer, why not practice it more with those who express a need in prayer instead of just, sure, I got you. I'm praying for you. I'm going to write you on the list. And as soon as I'm alone and quiet and comfortable, I'll make sure to talk to God about that. I love Matthew 25. Listen to verses 44 and 45. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger and needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And he will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. I mean, how do we not know that this is God putting this person in our path today that we just ignored the need? How do I not know that this person needed a word and a prayer over them from the Lord when they came to me? Oh, you go to First Baptist, don't you? Hey, I get it all the time when I go to the school. I like to hang out with the kids during the lunch. Hey, you're that guy over at First Baptist. Will you pray for me? Apparently, you have to work here to be able to pray for people. Everybody else, it doesn't matter. But how many times do I say, absolutely, tell me your story, and then miss an opportunity to, hey, can we just pray right here in the lunchroom? I know it's going to feel awkward, but I believe in a God who cares for your need right now and can answer that prayer in a moment's notice. So let's do it. Let's pray. See, we're not just talking about the homeless, by the way. We're not talking about the homeless guy who might smell or who wanders our streets. You are surrounded by people in need in this church, at your workplace, at your school, at the restaurant, throughout our community. There are people in need. It reminds me of a story. I got to read this to you. This is good. It was a seminary professor. He had a class of about 15 students. Do we have a picture of that? I think we do. There he is. A class of about 15 students, and they were preparing for Christian ministry. So at the beginning of one of his classes, he distributes envelopes to each of these students with sealed instructions in them. 5 students received instructions to proceed across campus without delay. The directions read, you have 15 minutes to reach your destination. You have no time to spare. Don't loiter and don't do anything else or your grade will be docked. The next 5 students received instructions to make their way across campus, but they were given 45 minutes. You have plenty of time, their directions read, but don't be too slow. The last 5 students received instructions to get to the other side of campus before the end of day, before 5 o'clock that afternoon, giving them about 5 hours to complete their assignment. What the students didn't know is that the professor had arranged several drama majors from a local university to position themselves in the path that the students will be walking across campus. And these drama students were instructed to act as though they were suffering or in great need. One pretended to be a homeless man in need of food and clothing. Another sat with his head in his hands and he was crying like he had just experienced some terrible tragedy. Still another acted as they were in desperate need of medical care. So you can imagine what happened as these Christian ministry students tried to complete their assignments. None of the students in the first group stopped to offer any help to the quote-unquote needy people. Only 2 in the second group did, but all 5 in the third group took the time to stop and help. What a picture of us today. In a totally hectic world that we live in, it's no wonder that many people find it hard to know there's a God who cares. Most of us are just too busy. That busyness simply is not an unavoidable part of modern living, by the way. Maybe it is sin. Because each of us have the choice. Each of us have an opportunity on how we will live our lives. We can choose to make room for God. We can choose to take part in the ministry that He has called us to. Or, let's be honest, this is a lot easier. We can choose to do other things and maybe face the consequences later. So my question for us this morning as we ponder this idea of a very practical way of showing the wisdom that Proverbs and all of the Scripture teaches us is to honor God by honoring others. Is to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to not just see the need, to not just know the need, but to meet the need. And that's how we honor God, by honoring the needy. If I can, let me wrap this up with kind of a snapshot of what's coming this week. Maybe you've already previewed it this morning. I want to give you some of my favorite nuggets. Can we call them wisdom nuggets? Is that all right? I want to give you some of my favorite parts of the wisdom we see from Proverbs 8 through Proverbs 14, which I hope you'll be reading with us this coming week. Maybe you started out your morning like I did. Listen to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1. It says, "Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice?" Now, let's be honest. Most of us understand this idea of call because in our pockets or on our hips, we have this little thing called a cell phone. And sometimes you will get a phone call from somebody that you say, "I don't have time to answer this right now. I don't have time to deal with this right now. I'll call them back later." For one reason or another, we ignore that certain phone call. Can I just say, please don't ignore this phone call. Wisdom is calling. Understanding is raising its voice. Don't ignore it. If you skip down to chapters 8, verse 17, maybe you're following along with me. Verse 17 says, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me." Man, what a loving father. We just sang about that. I love that image of a loving father, and my prayer is that I never miss his unconditional love for me. But maybe that busyness we just talked about, that professor was able to act out for these students, maybe, just maybe, we're too busy loving ourselves to really inherit and pass on the love of our Father. Verse 33 of chapter 8, Proverbs says this, "Hear instruction and be wise, do not neglect it." This is what I would say the original. Can you hear me now? Good. Remember those commercials? I feel like this is wisdom calling to us. Can you hear me now? It's better than good. Great. Skip to chapter 9. Verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." It all begins with a healthy R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Sing it to me. Find out. Or I'll just sing it to myself. That's fine. No, it's over. You missed it and you embarrassed me. It's fine. It's okay. But really, respect for the Lord, respect for what He's calling us to do, is what living out this wisdom, living out this honoring God by honoring other people is all about. It all begins with a healthy respect. And all of Proverbs teaches us that. One of my favorite little wisdom nuggets in chapter 10, verse 9, is this. "Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out." You ever think about that word, integrity? I love the word integrity. Integrity, I think, was best defined to me by my former youth pastor when I was a senior in high school. He said, that is who you are when nobody else is looking around. I mean, we can be somebody when we're around other people, especially certain somebody around certain other peoples. That's Florida lingo right there for you. But integrity is who we are when nobody else is looking around. But by the way, somebody is looking around. Somebody's always watching out for you, which is good and bad. Oh no, God's watching. He sees this sin that I'm involved in right now that nobody else knows about. But it's also encouraging to know God is with you 24/7. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. Skip down to the nugget that we see in chapter 11, verse 12 says it like this. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. You ever been to a movie and seen it come up on the screen? Silence is golden. Yes, it's golden. Try it sometime. I know I need to. How about chapter 12, verse 1? It says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. Let's be honest. Nobody likes being disciplined, especially as adults. Kids, you think it's bad now. Wait till you get disciplined by another adult. Nobody likes discipline, but with it comes knowledge. And the scripture says right here in chapter 12 that we need to love discipline if we're going to love the knowledge that comes with it. Chapter 13, verse 24 says this. You'll read this on Friday, I hope. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, and he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. And all the parents of the little ones in the room said, amen. You hear me, son? Mm-hmm. Last but not least, one more wisdom nugget. Chapter 14, verse 10. I love this. The heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy. Have you noticed yet, as hopefully you've been reading through the Proverbs the last 2 weeks together, it all comes back to the heart. Remember, we were told last week in the introduction, the word heart is actually mentioned over 100 different times in these 33 short chapters of Proverbs. So I guess I close with this question for myself, maybe somebody else in the room or on the radio or on the internet today. How's your heart? I mean, really, not how is your hands and your feet and doing what you think you're doing for the Lord, but maybe doing it more for yourself. How's your heart? How's your heart for the needy that you probably see almost every day? And when I say needy, I would define it by those in need physically, those in need socially, students, those in need mentally, etc. You fill in the blank. Those in need. So again, like our pastor, I challenge you, would you read a nugget of wisdom every day for the rest of this month and let it transform your heart? I have to believe that a proverb a day keeps the devil away, amen? At least his work in my life. So my prayer is that we wouldn't just again see the need, we wouldn't just again know the need, but that we would literally go out and meet the need. Be the hands and feet. This is wisdom at its best. Because we can read Proverbs all month long. We can start our morning out with a video or with a scripture reading, a devotional, you name it. We can start our day out with some wisdom. But if it remains in here or in here and doesn't come out through my hands, my feet, my mouth, the way that I live, is it really wisdom? Just gaining insight? Just gaining things internally? Are they really wisdom if I don't put them into practice, if I don't apply them? So that's why I believe today God's calling us to be his hands and feet. To not just gain wisdom and insight and understanding from his word, but to live wise, to live insightful, and to share his understanding. So my prayer, like I said, for myself, if for nobody else, is that our lives would look more like Jesus with the remaining days we have on this earth. And as we touch and as we see and as we think about the lives that cross our paths every single day and the needs that that heart, more than physical, the needs that that heart have, would our hearts beat like Jesus for those hearts who need his love and his mercy? Would we live out his wisdom so that the world would be different, so that God could use us in amazing ways? So again, how's your heart? Can we pray together? Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a moment of privacy. I want to be able to pray for you. So if you would say today, with nobody looking around, and you were honest with me this morning and honest with God this morning, if you would say today, Justin, I see the need, but I miss the need almost daily. And I just need you to pray for me that I wouldn't miss opportunities to be the hands and feet of Jesus. If you'd be honest and say, that's me, I need to be more of the hands and feet of Jesus. Would you slip your hand up real quick so I know to pray for you? Hands all over this room. Father, your love is so amazing. Your forgiveness is unfathomable. Your mercy is new every morning, and I experience that, and I can't thank you enough for that. But Lord, may I never forget that there are people all around me every day, everywhere I go, that I will cross paths with even today, who need to know, maybe even in very tangible ways, that that love and that mercy and that forgiveness and that grace is available to them as well. So would you challenge us, Lord, get to the heart of the matter with us today, Jesus. Challenge us to be more like you in the way that we act, the places we go, the things that we do for other people, the way that we respond or react to other people, the things that we say. Lord, give us mercy to share your mercy. Give us grace that that grace would then be shared with those around us. Give us opportunities today and a willingness to meet those opportunities as we see the needs around us. So Jesus, thank you for meeting our needs. Thank you for touching the life of this needy soul. May we never neglect the opportunity to do the same for those around us. So we respond to you now, Lord, whether it's through getting on our faces and praying for those around us at this altar this morning, whether it's through grabbing somebody in this room right now during this prayer time and this time of dedication and just pray for them and remind them that we love them. Whether it's walking out of this place and sending a text or making a phone call of somebody you keep putting on our hearts this very moment. Whatever it is, Jesus, help us to respond like you. Help us to live lives of wisdom, not just be filled with your wisdom, so that we could honor you by honoring other people around us. That's how we show justice. How we show mercy. How we show you. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with us as we respond?